Just open your Bibles to Ephesians 2:8. We will be in Ephesians tonight, most of the night. Just wanted you to know that this morning we spoke of Lazarus and how God used his death so that many would be saved. How Martha and Mary, though believers, didn't understand how God was moving in death to provide both life physically and eternally. Eternal life is a gift of God, not something that can be earned or deserved because someone in your family was saved. So Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And tonight I'd like to share with you something I've not very accustomed to doing, and that's opening myself up. And that is, I will share my testimony with you. Now, not very many of you know much about me. You may have known me for years, but I'm a hard person to get to know. I don't share a lot. And I laugh because my son, he writes these devotions, and he bears his soul every day. And Mark says, "Boy, Sasso, you sure do tell everybody how you really feel and what God is really doing in your life." And I'm a little bit more reserved than that. But today I'm going to share some things with you. And I want to share my testimony and how God saved a young man. Get it, who deserved hell and gave him eternal life. Amen. And this Jesus can be your Jesus. Amen. If you'd allow him to be. Now, I titled my message, "God is Good." And so you are to say, "Amen," all the time. And he is good all the time. There's never a time when God is mean or unkind. And I'm going to ask you guys to do me a favor tonight. Please don't leave during my message. Please don't allow your children to leave. It's important to me. This is God's word, and it's something that should be respected and honored. So I want to share my testimony. I was given many opportunities as an unsaved person, and God was patient with me and pursued me. And Leo, we know not to talk about the word patience in our teachers' meetings. It's a good word. You know, I want God to give me patience, but for some reason our teachers don't want to think about patience because they know with patience comes trials, tribulations, but all the blessings you get from those tribulations, and we seem to forget that. So Leo, that's an inside joke, and we all know it, that if you sit around the table there, you'll hear, "Patience, don't say that. It's like it's a bad word, but it really is a very good word, and God will work that. He is very patient with me. Okay, as a child, my brother and sister, who lived in California, would take some of my siblings and I for the summer to visit, and they went to church, a Baptist church, where we would go to VBS. They would take us for the summer for 2 or 3 months at a time, and we'd go live with them. It was something that was somewhat of a treat, totally different than the home that I lived in normally. They actually went to church, and they went to vacation Bible school. I got to go to 2 or 3 vacation Bible schools. I don't know why they were so interested in vacation Bible schools. Maybe it's because they wanted to get their kids out of the house. I don't know. But we would go to the Baptist VBS. We'd go to the Nazarene. We'd go to the Brethren. Whoever had VBS, that's where we were going to go. And so we did that every summer. And so I got to hear about God. I kind of like our VBS. There's not a night that you come to BBS that you don't hear a salvation message. That was not always the case here. My brother wanted to go to the mission field. He was the next one older than I was. And so he was very serious. So when we stayed with him, we had to read our Bibles before we were fed. Yes, no Bible reading, no food that day. Amen. And yet I wasn't saved. Now can you imagine not understanding, why do I need to read my Bible? But if you didn't read your Bible, if you couldn't show them what you read and answer the questions in the little devotional he gave you, you got no breakfast. And come lunchtime, if you hadn't read your Bible, you got no lunch. And if you didn't read your Bible by dinner time, you got no dinner. And that was a rule in his house. And it was something that he taught me. And to him, God's word was that valuable, that if you didn't feed your soul, you had no reason to feed your belly. Good principle, but I wasn't saved. So it was intellectual reading to me. But I still read it, and I've not forgotten it. You know, I have a little contest going on in school right now, and I've challenged my students. I gave them a whole list of verses. 26 or 27. Some of your parents may not know this, but they know that if they say their verses, if they memorize them, I will give them $30 out of my pocket. And if they write a brief description of what that verse means to them, I'll give them another $30. I says, think of it as being able to buy your parents a Christmas present. $60 for learning your Bible verses. And you say, well, Mr. Mendez, what good is that if you don't actually remember them? Well, you know, God has got a sense of humor. In your darkest moments, you're going to remember those verses, whether you want to or not. They're going to come to mind. And you may think that I'm the worst science teacher in the world, but you're going to remember one thing. He taught me a Bible verse. They taught me Bible verses. I had to read my Bible, and I had to explain what I read. I just couldn't read and just say, oh, it means nothing. I actually had to come up with an explanation. Sadly, my brother never made it to the mission field. He decided later in life that he would take a detour that would take him through some dark times in his life. But I'll see him in heaven. But he cared. Cared enough to make sure that I read my Bible. I attended a youth center as a child in my teen years. From a child through my teen years, so maybe from 8 years old till 17 or 18 years old, which was staffed with a reverend and missionaries from a Baptist church. In fact, they had a reverend and a pastor on that staff, plus missionaries, at least two missionaries on that staff. The kids would go there and we'd play games, just have a good time after school or at night, depending on how old you were. I think once you got to be in the eighth grade, you couldn't go during the day anymore. You had to go at night. And so that's what we did. Nine plus years, and yet I wasn't saved. And we may look at those people today and say, why didn't they do anything about it? Let me put this challenge before you. When was the last time that you took one of these children in Sunday school and visited them in their house and maybe took them somewhere or just spent some time with them and told them about salvation? Criticize those missionaries if you want, but what makes you any better? Amen. Have you visited, have you taken the time with one of my teens and says, you know, I want to talk to you about a Jesus that I know. But maybe you're not able to do that because maybe you don't know the Jesus that way. And maybe you're afraid that they'll ask you a question that you can't answer. You know, my teens and my students are allowed one question that I don't know if you allow that in your life or not, but they can come up to me on any day of the week and say, Mr. Mendez, did you do your devotions today? They've yet to catch me not doing my devotions. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. There are times that I do miss, or maybe I do them later in the day, but they can ask me any time of the day, and they know that. What if they were to ask you that? What if they were to ask you, I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell. What can I do? Amen. What would you do about it? What have you done about it? And here I was with these missionaries, and yet, 9 years. How many opportunities? 200 days a year? 1,800 times? You know? Wow. When I was an adult and they found out I was going to church, I went back just to see what it was like. And they said, hey, would you mind speaking to our group and telling them how you learned of Jesus here? They didn't like the response when I said, I'm sorry. I can't tell you about how I heard about Jesus here because I never heard about Jesus here. You know what a reproach that was? But what it did do for that place is that the following year when Mrs. Mendez showed up there, and we were friends with the director, she told Mrs. Mendez, you know how many people got saved this week? Two. You know how many got saved last week? Two. And they realized that they were missing the whole target. The target was to see kids get saved, not to provide them with a basketball to play basketball. My target in my youth group is not to entertain kids, it's to tell them about Jesus. Amen. We can have fun anytime, but if you come have fun with me, you're going to find out sometime during that time that we're spending together, you're going to have to put up with my preaching. Because one day I'll stand before God and he'll ask me, as he will ask those missionaries, why did Rosendo spend 10 years lost when you could have told him and saved him all the trouble? I was taught how to lead kids' clubs and to coach different sports teams. Little did I know that God was preparing me to work with children. I had no idea. God, what are you doing? Why do I have to learn how to play games with these kids? Why do I have to have the patience to put up with these kids climbing all over me? Why? Because God knew somewhere later in my ministry, I was going to have that happen. Have you ever thought of having a kid that you know are infested with head lice that no one loves, and you pick them up and you hold them, and they put your head next to yours, and all you're thinking is, please don't let me get head lice. Please don't let me get head lice. And they want to crawl all over you. You know, God was good. I never got head lice. It didn't happen once. It happened numerous times. We'd bust in kids, and we'd have 60 kids in our Sunday school class. Some of them that hadn't eaten for days. Well, since lunch on Friday at school, because back then, that's where they would eat at, was at school. Just think of the opportunities that God will give you if you'll open your heart. Well, I'm too young to do anything. You're only fooling yourself. No, you're not. All you have to do is care. Care enough to know that someone may get thrown in that lake of fire that I talked about this morning, that you neglected to tell them. Don't tell me about bad kids. I was taught how to lead a teen youth group. I was even taught Robert's rules of order, showed how to conduct a meeting, and to speak in public. I wonder what that was all about. Why would I ever have to learn to speak in public? Just a little kid from the poor neighborhood. I would never get a chance to speak in public. God is good. Twice today. And I'm not scared to be up here. I know how to conduct a meeting. It helps when you get organized for your Sunday school class. It helps when you write a schedule. It helps to know the rules. And you wonder, what is God willing to do with me? See, so often we think that God looks at our abilities. What can I do? And you look at yourself, I can't run no more. Well, I don't have to. I can't draw. Well, you don't have to. I stutter sometimes. That's okay. I'll use you. But if you never let God use you, you'll never know what you can do. Amen. You'll never know what child will see you on that resurrection morning and maybe fly up with you. He'll be sitting next to you as you go up in the air, and you'll look and you'll say, wow, I didn't know they were coming. You sure be glad, because you surely don't want to see them when they're going the other way, because you didn't care. I started to attend the neighborhood Baptist church. It's a couple of blocks down the road. I was a teenager, freshman in high school. Thought this would be a neat place to go. They had girls there. Real interesting. Hey, girls here, I can go to this church. They'll let me come in here and talk to them. Then they moved about 4 miles away. Think that discouraged me? Found a way to get there. So do I care if the boys just come to see the girls? No. If it gives me an opportunity to preach to them, I want that opportunity. I don't want them to have to last 3 or 4 more years before they get saved. I'll let God work on them. I joined the famous Taco Benders basketball team. And yes, I was in high school. Yes, they preached the gospel. And it was called the Mexican Gospel Mission in that day. So you wonder, the famous Taco Benders. Well, we were a basketball team, which you guys would call a club team now. And we used to play all over Phoenix. And I don't know how my pastor put up with it. But to go into a neighborhood, which was predominantly white, Taco Benders was not meant to be a nice name. It was a derogatory name. And my pastor would just smile, said, just take it in stride. So what, you bend tacos. As long as at the end of the tournament, you carry the trophy home, let them say whatever they want to about you. And he was right. Oh, my pastor, if you would have known my pastor, he's still alive, but he's very old, very fragile. He could chew you out. And when you left that room, you felt as though somehow he was apologizing to you. And you felt good about it. You felt bad because, how come I didn't do more? You never felt angry at him. He had a way about him. He had a love about him. And unfortunately, my teammates were no different than I. Teenager, I'm going to look at you tonight. And what does that teen next to you want from your life? What do you have that's different that they want from your life? And that's what I wanted to know. What do they have that's different for me? They act like me. They talk like me. When no one's looking, they were just like me. So why should I want to be a Christian? I wasn't going to change anything. But that goes for us adults too. What do your people at work see in you? Why are you not different? And when I think about it, would I be different if maybe one of them would have been a soul winner? Would I have gotten saved at 15 or 16 years old? Maybe I would have. I know that God wasn't delaying it. I know that wasn't God's plan, that I would get amongst all these so-called Christians and no one would ever take the time to tell me of the great Savior that they had. They were more interested in my abilities as a player than my need of a Savior. Take care of that later. Right now we're busy. We're playing basketball. We got no time for messages. You know, that coach still leads singing at that church. He's probably 10 years older than I am. He's probably late 70s. He's still in the ministry. And so my brother, he moved back to Arizona and started to attend church. And in April of 1971, he went out soul winning. It's difficult because I see what God could have done with him, and he didn't allow it. But he went out soul winning that Saturday, and he came to my house. And I was saved. Irene and I were saved that Sunday, that Saturday morning. And we knew what was right. No one had to tell us that we had to go out and witness. No one had to tell us about getting baptized. I talked to the pastor that day and says, I want to be baptized tomorrow. There was no waiting. There was no putting it off. I wanted others to know that there was a change. Why did it take so long in my life? That's what I wanted to know. I'm 19 years old, and I wasted 15 years of my life.
Likes the way you sing or not. The Bible is very clear. Make a joyful noise. You don't have to have a nice voice. It has nothing to do with a voice. It has everything to do with a heart. And where is your heart? What is song time meaning? It is there to prepare your heart for that message. I was saved, 19 years old. Sunday morning, we're baptized. Following Sunday, Mr. Mendez and I are singing a special. Probably sang a special once a month thereafter. Couldn't wait to tell others. You would think that everybody's being. You got to remember, I was a Catholic. Not knowing he has betrayed the church. You know, was the church going to go to heaven? I can remember the priest from the Catholic Church come over to the fence. Not happy. Satan will use whatever and whoever to discourage you. Discouragement is probably one of his greatest tools. If he can discourage you, he's got you. And I know that for a fact, because there's times that I've been discouraged. When you're working hard to get something accomplished, and you think you're getting something done, and then someone criticizes. Sometimes. You know, my Sunday school teacher in that church, it got to be that when, after a while, that they would have 15 minutes of Bible and 30 minutes of talking about what they saw on TV that week. And he told me, you know what your problem is? You're too excited. You need to calm down. You need to cut it back. Because if you don't, you're going to burn out. I kind of believe him at that time.
Probably help. I'm just breaking it all up. I'm just tearing everything up here. So maybe you ought to just scale it back a little bit. You really don't have to come every Sunday. You really don't have to sing ever. You really don't have to prepare for Sunday school. You're going to burn out. You're working too hard at it. I had someone tell me that here one time. And my answer by then was I had learned. My answer then is, you're right. I will burn out. Me. Because I'll do it in my own power. But when I trust Jesus to do it with me, I'm doing it under His power. And when I'm doing it under His power, it's unlimited. There is no end of His power. So after about 6 months or so, I started to miss church every once in a while. So you think, hey, no big deal. I'll miss here, I'll miss there. No big deal. And then soon I wasn't going at all. I've seen that happen so many times. Been doing this for 40-some years, and I've seen more families fall out of church than I've seen stay in church. What happened to so-and-so? Oh, I don't know. They got tired of coming. Well, what were they doing when they were in church? Oh, they weren't doing anything. That's why they got tired of coming. They didn't have a ministry. They didn't have something to do. They never told God, I'm available. God never gave them anything. Because they wouldn't take it. So we weren't going at all. After a while, Irene was invited to church by my younger brother. Not my same older brother that came to me. And started riding the bus to church. I wouldn't even get out of bed on Sunday morning. I was too interested in playing football and doing whatever else I was doing to take her. So I asked myself this question. What was God doing bringing a bus into my life? I don't want nothing to do with the bus ministry. Guess what I do on Saturday mornings now? I visit a bus route. What I did for 17 years at the Evangelical Church, I was a substitute bus driver. And I probably drove the bus more than the regular bus drivers. I knew every route, which was like eight of them, Because it seemed like every Sunday I was driving a different bus on a different route. I was the only substitute bus driver they had. But they just should have gave me my own route and let me be at it, because I was going to be there Sunday morning to drive some bus. So I don't know why God brought that bus into my life before I even went to church, but he did. It was like, you're going to get stuck serving here, and you better enjoy it. So I love driving. I didn't need a CDL back then. So when my daughter was 5, she came home, told me she got saved. You talking about a dad hearing about his daughter getting saved? Now, Mr. Gonzalez has a couple of daughters, so I'm going to pick on him a little bit, because I know that he's a man just like I'm a man. A stranger had to tell my daughter about Jesus? But I love my daughter. Apparently not, because I was going to let her go to hell so that I could stay home in bed on Sunday mornings. Shame on me. You can understand that, can't you, brother? Why would I do that? Why would someone else have to tell my daughter how to get saved? Because I decided that I didn't want to go to church anymore. Shame on me. This testimony's tougher than I thought it was. I thought it was quite bland at first. And I didn't do it. I slowly started coming back to church in 1975. So that is 45 years ago. And became comfortable with attending but not serving. And enjoying the view of watching everyone else doing all the work. Till slowly people started to ask me, will you do this? Can I show you how to do that? You know, God had prepared me for so many things. They weren't really showing me anything. God had already showed me how. All I had to do was be willing to step in and do it. There was no secret to it. Then I started attending Sunday school and reading my Bible. Then I learned I wasn't a good steward. We used to have the pastor, it wasn't the senior pastor, it was the associate pastor, come to the house once a week to teach a Bible lesson in my house. Because I didn't want to know about God. I figured the less I knew, the less I had to do. You know, if you don't attend Sunday school, maybe that's your problem. You just don't want to know about your God. Because the less you know, the less you're responsible for. That was me. Guilty. And I wasn't a good steward. And if I was going to teach my children by example, which, by the way, happens whether you want it to or not, you're either going to be a good example or you're going to be a bad example. Okay? So it's going to happen. I wanted to be a good example. I learned that verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I am blessed that both of my children are serving. They both have ministries. They're both active. There's a reason for it. They got to see it in reality. They know it works. There's no guess about it. And as I served at the evangelical church, I started out, my first big task was, other than bus driving, which I thought was just a piece of cake, the Awana Cubby Director. That's 4 and 5 years, that's kindergarten through second grade. And if you can imagine having 120 of those kids in club with 4 of you. See, I laugh when people tell me, oh, we got to have some help here. We got 10 kids, and there's got to be 4 adults. And I laugh, and I says, well, try 4 adults and try 120 kids. Try 2 adults in a Sunday school class of 60 in kindergarten through second grade. Now, that's a challenge. So don't come crying to me about I have to do this with just a little help. Then I became the club commander, which meant how we were in charge over the whole club. God had prepared me way back then because I had to do all the training. I had to speak to all of those leaders, which was about 25 of them. We were running 300-plus kids on Wednesday nights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 clubs. Do the math. Not that many kids. Not that many leaders per kid. I also was a school basketball coach. I was also on the deacon board. Also a bus driver until the Lord moved me to Chicago in 1995. Now, I really didn't want to go. So the Lord, please don't send me. I really don't want to go. I am so comfortable here. I love it here. I'm serving. I'm busy. And he said, I have something new for you. And I read my son's devotions. And I told you, he bears his soul. And in one of them, he talks about what the move to Chicago meant to him and how it changed his life. And I say, thank you, Lord. I may have not known why you moved us, but you did. Just like Martha and Mary never understood what Jesus was going to do about Lazarus, I had no idea what he was going to do with my children. We arrived in Calumet City, a suburb of Chicago, and started church searching. And God led us to Calumet City Bible Church. We attended one church on a Wednesday night, and all we could hear was the choir singing. So we walk in wondering, okay, when's the church going to start? I say, hey, would you guys like to sing in the choir Sunday morning? I thought, you don't know me from Adam. Why would you even ask me to sing Sunday morning? I guarantee you walk into this church, and if you ask me, can you sing Sunday morning? I'm going to say, in about 6 months. Show me who you are. That's what I want to know. Show me who you are. And we served there until 2010, till December of 2010. I was did a lot of VBSs. There's pictures of me with this white Tyvek suit. You know what a Tyvek suit is, right, brother? And a face mask and all sorts of things coming out. I was a spaceman, a space cadet. And me and Mrs. Mendez were on walkie-talkies, and the kids really thought I was some astronaut from somewhere. I didn't have the ability to act, but God knew I had a heart for him. I had a heart for these kids. I can remember going to the park. We were trying to get kids to come, teens. And so I told my pastor, I came up with this bright idea. 18, 2-on-2, you two against me and my pastor. If we lose, we'll take you to McDonald's and buy you a hamburger dinner. If we win, you have to come on Sunday morning. I'm not bragging. God knew what to do. I never bought a McDonald's lunch. We had kids in Sunday school. It's not bragging. It's just how God works. Yeah, I knew how to cheat and hold and push and all that. And I was also an elder. I was a song leader and a maintenance man. Got to put in a refrigeration unit, brand new in the church. Got to take out a baptistry, take out 6-foot by 8-foot room, 6-foot tall of sand. Out of basement window. If you can imagine, just getting a shovel, putting it in the sand, walking over, throwing it out the window. So we did. I was a maintenance man. I loved it. It was neat. Nobody wanted my job. Nobody ever said, here, let me take that shovel from you, because it looks like a very important job. We arrived at Vision, December 2010. My children were coming here. My old church wanted me to go back. I thought this would be the place where God would have us. There were many changes here. Some of them have affected my family, but God said, this is where I want you. This is where I'm at. And so I started out as a janitor. Loved it. No one ever said, hey, can we dump that garbage can for you? Can we take that trash bag out to the garbage for you? Nobody bothered me. Hey, that's just Mr. Mendez out there taking garbage bags out. Let him go. He'll be all right. Started out as a PE teacher, salary of $1 a year. Then after a couple of years, they thought that was a little low, so they doubled it, $2 a year. I still haven't seen my $2. I don't know what happened to that. Started teaching adult Sunday school. Never taught adult Sunday school. Mr. Dahm and I, he would do 1 week, I would do the next week. Never taught adults. God said, you don't have to. I'll show you how. Became a deacon. And the youth pastor left, and it was kind of like, here you go. Never worked with teenagers. And here I am. Then I became the principal. And I wonder, what am I doing as a principal? I have no idea, God. But God says, I'll give you the talent you need. I'll give you the ability to do that. And I'll give you the people that you'll need to help you with that. And he has. He's been faithful. Never has my God said, I'm going to put you in a place where you can't do it. And I can honestly say that my God has met all my needs and has always kept his word. If he tells me that I can do it, I can do it. So the challenge to you people is, am I too young? Am I too old? 68 years old. I told the Lord 10 years ago, I should have been doing teens 20 years ago. Why am I doing it now? I can't run. I can't play with them. He said, you don't have to. I'll send you Mark Hall. Mark Hall can do that. So Mark Hall does that. And he's getting to the point where he's wondering whether he wants to do that anymore. You say, I never did a HV refrigeration unit. Neither did I. Put a whole new one in. Ducting and all through the whole church building. Never done it before. Had no idea what I was doing. We hired a guy that he'd come down and he'd tell us what he wanted us to do. We'd go do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He says, you don't understand, Mr. Mendez. I have trials in my life, and they're too much for me to handle. Ms. Dahlman, I think she gets tired of hearing me tell her this. How big is your God? But I truly believe that. How big is your God? And yes, there's times when I get that trial, and I think, God, how big are you? And I wonder, God, are you really big enough to handle this? I think, you fool. Yes, he's big enough to handle this. Why are you even asking? I'm gonna challenge you folks, teens, young people, adults. Don't sit around waiting for someone else to do it. Don't say I'm too old or I can't. There is something you can do. It could be as simple as sitting there waiting for a teen to walk by and just says, hey, can I have a word with you? What's on your mind today? You know, when I was your age, this happened to me. True story. When my son was young, a teenager, I was walking through the church there at the evangelical church. Big campus. So I'm walking around, and I'm in a hurry. I don't know what I had on my mind. I was busy. My son and his three friends were standing aside near the pulpit. I had to walk by them. I walk by, and I am busy. I get about here to where Mr. McMahon is at, and it was just like God had reached out and says, stop. Oh. walk all the way back to those young people, say, "Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm sorry, I just was in a fog." They accepted my apology. You know, years later, they've told my son, "Do you remember when your dad cared enough to come back and all those other adults that walked by could care less?" Folks, I tell my teachers all the time, "Do you remember your second grade teacher?" And yes, they do. You know what? I remember my friends in grammar school and in high school. So will your friends remember you. And they'll remember when they see you in church, "Why didn't they tell me 10 years ago?" I remember walking into the evangelical church, they have a door on each side, and the door opened, and I saw the guy at the other end. He saw me, and as we walked towards each other, his first words out of his mouth were, "What are you doing here? This isn't a prison. Why are you even here?" And we kind of chuckled about it. God is good. What will you do with what God has given you? Will you use it? Or will you just waste it? It's really up to you. God wants to use it. God wants you to do something with it. Remember, it costs him the life of his son for that salvation. And are you so willing to waste that? Let's pray. Father, how I thank you, praise you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for how you're working in my heart and in my life. I pray that tonight, that if someone needs to come forward, that they would do that. Lord, that they would not leave this place and say, "I don't need to do that. God has nothing for me. God doesn't want to use me. Not only does God wants to use you, he wants to bless you. The only way you're going to get a blessing is by obedience. This morning I told you, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so if you're willing to not do good, then you're saying, I'm willing to sin. Lord, I pray that there would not be that attitude in you today. As the piano plays, if you feel that you need to come forward and get some things right, now's the time to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.